So our sermon series that is sort of a, not sort of, it is a deep dive into the book of James, all 2,438 words that make up the book of James, five chapters of good Christian living advice is really what it is. Now, I've always liked the book of James because it's practical. It gives you examples of how you as a follower of Christ are supposed to live. And it also challenges us about living our life as a follower of Christ out faithfully. If you read all five chapters, which doesn't take you very long, it kind of like feels like sort of just a series of thoughts. He thinks about this, he thinks about that. It doesn't really read like an epistle. It doesn't really read like a letter, although it's been, through history, it's been treated as sort of a general epistle, a letter. It really doesn't read like a letter. It reads more like sort of just random thoughts about how to live your life. And some scholars will tell you that there is some organization to it. I've read what they're saying, and I'm not buying it. It's just kind of a stretch in my mind. I mean, they're really looking hard to find a way that this book is organized, and it just seems more like thoughts about how to live a life. But I like that he talks about how to be a follower of Jesus, what it looks like to live faithfully. But last week, Leanne talked to you about this idea that James doesn't want us to be of two minds, that our minds should only be about serving the Lord and about serving God. And there are certainly some instances where that should be our focus. But the problem with that is we don't live in a monastery. We don't live sheltered somewhere away. The problem is that we live in this great, big, old, messy world. And in this world, it's filled with evil, temptation, meanness, greed, and hate. But it's also filled with beauty, love, kindness, good, discipline, joy, and truth. There are some moments where we can't help but sort of live in both worlds, in this world that is shaped by the teachings of Jesus, and in this world in which we are forced to live, with all of its frailties, with all of its mess, with all of its difficulty, we still have to live in the world, even though we're a follower of Jesus. We have these moments where we are just impacted by the world because we live in it. In part because of our jobs, the way we interact with the world. So our text today, I think, is and a great example of how we have to find a way to live in both the world and have this single-mindedness of God that James is talking about. So our text today comes from the second chapter of James. We are reading verses 1 through 9. You'll notice in your bulletin it was 1 through 7, but I decided later on to add two verses. So bear with me. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Oh, have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand over there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. This is the word of God for the people of God. So in this very first verse, there is what scholars call a textual issue. Basically, the sentence in Greek isn't really very clear about what the author intends. In the New Revised Standard Version we just read, that first verse is presented as a rhetorical question. And it's presented as a rhetorical question in which the implied answer is, no, you don't. But in other versions, like the NIV says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. So that's just a statement, right? And so sometimes when we're translating the words from the original Greek to English or other language, the translators have to make a determination as to what the author meant here. And I, in particular, I like the rhetorical question better, that interpretation of that first verse, because I think it's a little harder hitting, saying, do you believe in all that Jesus has taught you when you're showing favoritism? So I like that interpretation of it better. One is a statement, the other is this rhetorical question. In the opening sentence, James is pointing out our double-mindedness. This idea that we favor some over others. He's pointing out that we treat people differently, sort of based upon their station in life. He's saying, you believe, but you don't act like it. You say you believe, but you don't act like it because you're showing some partiality. You're playing favorites. And it's really interesting to think about the book of James being written when it was, in the 60s. The Christian church was the first and only place where your station in life didn't matter. The first place where being rich or poor, Greek or Jew, didn't matter. Because you all stood exactly in the same place before God. There were actually instances in which slave owners were sitting in the congregation while a slave was doing the liturgy. It was a really unique place. James is telling us that we are not to show partiality. It talks about our need to be impartial, that God's love is there for everyone. And the truth of it is, we all stand in the exact same place before God. Preacher, teacher, garbage man, banker, lawyer, it doesn't matter. When we have our judgment day, we all stand in the exact same place, a sinner in need of redemption through the work of Jesus Christ. And so this text is calling us to be like God, to be like Christ, and not show partiality. We read in Romans that God shows no partiality. We read in Jeremiah that God shows no partiality, that there are no favorites, despite the Jews being the chosen ones, we all stand before God in the exact same spot. A sinner in need of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no partiality with God. So when, not if, but when you catch yourself looking at someone else thinking that they are less worthy of God's grace or you are more worthy than God's grace, stop your train of thought and back it up. Because you have done left the track. Nobody is less worthy of God's grace than you or me. And no one is more worthy. And that includes bishops and preachers and priests and people who work for the Lord. We stand in the exact same spot as Joe Layperson when we stand before God, a sinner in need of redemption. Now, this all sounds awesome, right? We're not supposed to show partiality. And we read in the Gospels, judge not lest ye be judged, right? But we live in the world. We live in a world that's messy. And the truth of the matter is, you have to make judgments every single day. Is this the person I need to hire? You're making a judgment. Do I trust this person to fix my car, to fix my dog, to care for my children? You have to make judgments every single day. We have to make judgments about the children that we want our children to play with. In our Strong Fathers class, we talked about that on Thursday night. That there is this need for us to get to know our children's friends and make a determination if they're good for your kid. We live in this messy world, and we have to make judgments about all kinds of things. When you get off track, folks, when you get off track, it sounds something like, they're a terrible person. They're not worthy of God's grace or redemption or love. If that's in your head, if that's in your heart, you're in the wrong place. You're thinking the wrong thoughts. We live in this world where we are forced to make judgments by the fact that we live in it. And to just say we can't judge anybody ever is not accurate. We have to make judgments as we go through life, as we live in this world. But when you do, you better check your heart. You better take a close look at this judgment that you're passing on this other person and make sure that you are not claiming that they are less worthy or that you are more worthy than them of God's grace, because you're wrong if that's what you're thinking. So we live in this world where we have to make judgments by virtue of the fact we live in it. We don't get to live apart from it. We mix in it. And by the way we live our lives, by the way we interact with people, people get to experience God's grace and love through you. So as you go through life making judgments about people, which we have to do, check your heart. Make sure that you're not feeling all superior. Make sure that somehow you think that they are not worthy of God's grace. Let this text remind you, we are all sinful. We all stand in the same place before God. in need of his mercy and his grace. And the sacrifice was made for each one of us. As we go through our world and we're forced to make judgments, let this text be really close to your heart. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we are so unworthy of your grace. And we recognize that we live in a world that is messed up and imperfect. And we have conflict with people in our lives. And then we have to make choices about people. Father, we just ask that you would help us to make good choices. Choices in which your love and your grace are shown. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to let this text be a part of our lives. Let it never be very far from our mind or our heart. That none are less worthy of you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen.